for the players.
I have Paramore by Hard Times by Paramore stuck in my head.
Yeah, that's because I hummed it pre-show and now, and then you started singing it, and I'm like, "Welcome to my world."
Yeah, the worst part is I played it on Spotify earlier, so it's like deep in there. But I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper,
and this is For the Players, the pop culture obsession podcast, and sometimes Paramore dancing show. But this is For the Players, the pop culture obsession podcast, and I forget the next line.
With over X amount of years.
Oh, yeah, that's right. With like 50
X plus years in the games media combined.
Yeah, with like 50 years.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. With like 50 years in playing PlayStation and like 15 years in the games media combined. Like, thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation. I didn't take meds today, so.
Nice. This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to join in future conversations, check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening to us on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist. And that's about it, really. But man, how's things?
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Yeah. No, as you were anyone coming in the show, we were just jamming to some Hard Times by Paramore. I don't know whatever. What earlier today, I was playing some GM with my son and my partner, and as we normally do, I'll just play a playlist through the stereo while we're playing the game. Because as much as I love the soundtrack for 2K25, WWE 2K25, that is, it does get a bit monotonous. So to put our own music in there was really cool. And I had a banger. It was a really good run of like solid tunes. There was like Accidentally in Love by Crowning Crows. Then it was Walking on the Sun by Smash Mouth. It was Hard Times by Paramore. Was it Cold Heart by Pinau? Elton John and Dua Lipa. And there was another one. And there was just five bangers back to back. It was so... Oh, High Hopes by Panic at the Disco was in there as well. Just bangers. It was a really good high energy, like, couple stint of songs. And for whatever reason, Paramore is the only one that sort of registered in my head. Now, is it the irony that I am, in fact, currently in Hard Times? Yes. Yes, I am. So for those who are playing at home, your boy is currently unemployed. Yeah! So I had, I talked about my job that I've had for the last 6 months. You know, what happens at the end of 6 months? What happens around 6 months? Your probation window. Turns out, I didn't pass. So, whatever. Everything that was asked of me, I did. Delivered. Except it was in short, I don't think they wanted to work with my brain. And that's fine. And that's fine. Because, granted, although I know my brain better now than I ever have before, doesn't mean people know how to work with it. So yeah, I'm currently unemployed and shitting myself about what the future holds. Just try to. I've got about 6 weeks safe, but outside of that, who fucking knows? So I don't know, Max. I'm trying to think of all these different options of what I could do moving forward. One of them was I was genuinely rethinking about returning to a workplace that I was at about a decade ago, where your partner still works, your wife, and my mate Craig still works there. It's a call center. I'd want to die, but. I'd get 9 weeks of training or not take a single phone call. And while I'm getting paid for that 9 weeks, I'll just look for other jobs. Flawless. Flawless. And if they're like, oh, what would you do that for? I'm like, fuck that job. I didn't want to do it last time I was there. I just need money.
Which is why any of us work a job.
That's also true. But like, that's the other thing. I've been very, very lucky. The last handful of jobs, like three jobs that I've had, I've generally... seen value in and I've enjoyed them and they have given me a sense of a sense of fulfillment outside of just purpose. Absolutely. Especially the last job, I felt a lot of purpose in that job. So to lose it was pretty rough. This is the first time I'm 35. I've been working since I was 14 and 9 months, and this is the first time I've been unemployed, not by choice. Pretty good run. Pretty solid run. So yeah, now I've got to figure out what the fuck I'm going to do. So obviously every day is applying for jobs, doing what I got, doing all that sort of stuff. But additionally, and I was throwing this out, and someone mentioned it to me, like, why don't you like stream some more? Like, you know, like granted, we didn't make fucking money when we did it last time. But I was like, yeah, why the fuck not, right? Maybe.
Like me today. You know, you gonna stream Opening Night Live? Yeah, why not? It's a 4 8. Fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that. But look, once again, if there's interest, if it works, if it's not just wasting my time, then yeah, I'll probably think about it. So everyone that is listening, if you're inclined and interested in wanting to see me do some streams, play some games, stuff like that, then sure. Chat. I don't know. But we'll see what happens. But Max, have you ever been non-voluntary unemployed?
Non-voluntary unemployed. No.
Is it? No, yeah.
No.
Well done. I was almost with there with you.
Well, actually, kind of, I guess.
Yeah.
On a technicality, so like I've held the same job for the last 8 years, but I'm on my third company doing the same job at the same place.
I wouldn't count because, that. Yeah.
Because the first lot lost the contract, but then the new guys came in and went, we're going to keep Max. And then I just got hired by the new group.
Yeah.
And then that group went bankrupt. And then the new group came in and were like, we're going to keep Max again.
Like, granted, I could say the same about like the redundancy that I had a couple years ago. And then I got a job before my redundancy time ended. Like, you know, my window, right? So I guess, yeah. But how's your week been? I imagine better.
I don't remember much of my week. My week's been fine. Hadley had a sleepover at her grandparents on Friday night. And we convinced him to take Ollie as well, just for like dinner time. So Ellie and I could have a little bit of a date night. Because we haven't...
Speaking of, hey, little man.
What's up, little dude? Because we haven't had one in a hot second.
Mm.
And so I went and met Ali at 4 o'clock after work, and we bummed around town for a bit, and then went and got some curry. Went and picked our son up at about 6:30, got home at 7:00, and Ali's like, oh, we've got nothing to drink for our movie night. I'm like, oh, I'll go. She's like, no, you've been asleep on the couch for the last 10 minutes. Probably not a good idea. I'm like, okay, you go then. And then she left, and I proceeded to fall asleep.
That is married couple parents at date night right there.
And I slept from... what, about 7 o'clock that night till 7 o'clock the next morning, and got more sleep than I had all week in that single night.
Romantic.
And then at 7 o'clock in the morning when Ollie woke up, she smacked me and said, get up with Ollie. I'm like, okay.
Like, that is fair. And mind you, like, Ellie's getting like wild hammered in the background. So I'm going to go get drinks, come back, just start pummeling wine.
Oh no, it was just like, we had nothing in the house apart from water. So she's like, I'm going to go. She came back with like juice and all kinds of stuff. She messaged me and said, I got way more than I needed to. Can you come and help me bring some groceries in? I'm like, no.
Yeah. Hey, Blair's joining us in the chat. Hey, Blair, how you doing?
I was absolutely out of it. And then Saturday, I did a tip run, getting my garage ready for the children.
Oh yeah, because you make it into a little play place.
Building a little like playroom for the kids in the garage, because we don't use it for our cars. So cleaning out all the excess shit and whatnot that we've got. And yeah, that's pretty much my week's been pretty chill, comparatively.
Yeah, noticeably, stuff. Comparatively,
class,
absolutely.
Class is going fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still doing things. It's cool.
Sweet. So this is the other fun part, right? Like, and for those that are joining us, like,
have you contemplated doing that? Going doing like a dip ed and being a science teacher?
I have, but it's been so long since I've even thought about science. I don't even know how I would go at it. Yeah, I don't know, because I'm trying to think. Yeah, what options do I have? Right, like, I'm thinking about maybe going and doing some support work again, but in more in the mental health space. Because I did put a post on my socials being like, hey, anyone can help me out? And I did get some people reach out. I got this one lovely woman who was looking for a support worker for her son. And she goes, hey, you look like a good, like, the vibes from you were good enough that if you, like, you know, your history Would you be keen? So I'm hooking into it. I just got to make an ABN, which I have one for Pop C, but I don't want to like charge shit to Pop C that isn't Pop C stuff. So I'll make a new ABN, and I might do that. I might like do some Uber Eatsing for a little while.
Oh yeah.
Well, like, it's just what, because the problem that I have is now is, sup, mute. Yeah, and the difficulty that I have is, although I'm unemployed, I don't have access to Centrelink or any unemployment supports because I live with my partner, Phoebe, and she earns more than the threshold, apparently. So apparently, what was one income that was incapable of supporting one person, according to the government, is more than fine to support two.
Which is why you were like, oh, we're just roommates.
Yeah, but I can't lie. That's my, it's just who I am. Like, I can't lie. Because the anxiety of getting caught and then fucking with it hurts me too much. I had to be honest. I have to be honest.
Fair.
You know, so.
Could have gamed that system, son, like everyone else on that system.
Yeah, but that makes me no better. I fucking hate people that do that. So I would like to be better. Even if it's morality. Yeah, it's fucking me over, but.
The high ground
is nice sometimes. Until I can't feed myself and then I'm fucked. I've got enough man shake in the cupboard to last me forever, so that should be okay. I'll lose a stack of weight because I'm not eating anything. But yeah, I'm just sort of finding things along the way. Yeah, dip head. I had considered doing the dip head, but you know, maybe not. I'm thinking about like a disability inclusion officer or something like that.
I mean, there is tons of disability support work. Like,
yeah, but that's the other difference. I don't like, I'm not disability support trained. I am mental health support trained.
Mm.
So like, if I have to help someone toilet or shower, get fucked. I am not doing that. I never have, and I never will. That is not what I signed up for. But. You know, outside, look, this is the other thing, right? As I mentioned, this is the first time I've not been employed for an unknown amount of time since I started working at 14 and 9 months. And although part of me is very aware that, like, don't get stuck in a bad habits because you can't afford to not be out of work. But you're not going to get a job immediately. So why not take some time and enjoy some of that time? I still apply for jobs every day, which I will. But like, why not do some things that people tend to, like, same as COVID, right? I fucking didn't stop working during COVID, same as you. So like, I've never ever had that window of downtime where I can just sit home, watch TV, play games. Like, people are like, oh, when I was unemployed, I went through all of this show and that show and this and that. Never done that in my entire life. I don't take leave. And even when I do, because I'm fucking mental, whatever leave I do take, it's normally for an event or for something. Even my weekends, which should be relaxing time, I make into work because I can't slow down. So I'm thinking, like, do I use some of this time just to learn how to slow down?
He's finally going to finish Death Stranding 2.
Well, I can't because I can't play it when Phoebe's not here. She made the
you
exact...
You made it here first, everybody. Yeah. You made it here first, everybody.
But it allows me, you know, maybe I'll go watch some shows that I've always wanted to, but I thought I was like, never had the time. Maybe I'll go back and play some games. As I mentioned, like, if I do, just to sort of fill in some of the time, like, I'll stream a couple days a week. Maybe that'll help me get through some of my backlog and just sort of play some of the games I have. And, you know, like Metal Gear... Metal Gear Solid Delta's coming up real soon. Gears of War Reloaded's coming up. So, like, it'd be kind of fun to play some of those things on stream. I think that would be a laugh. Like, I'm engaging enough in a stream capacity. Why the fuck not? I said, what the hell else am I going to do? But, like, on top of that, I also, like, yeah, let's watch some shows I've never seen. So, I started watching Big Mouth on Netflix. Have you ever watched it? It's exceptional. Like, I'm four episodes in, and to me, it is exactly my humor. It is exactly what I love. It's exactly what I want. Like, it's very South Park coded in that it's kids doing kids thing with an adult tinge. The way it handles puberty with the hormone monster, especially the men's version, which is just straight fucking impulse. But then there's the female hormone monster who's all manipulative and kind of like, it's really, really well done. And I love Nick Kroll and his crew. So I don't know why I never watched it earlier. You know what I mean? Mm. In the chat, Reverend Puck goes, time to start in on that One Piece anime series watch. Nah, because I don't watch anime. And then Blair comes in and goes, "Oh, you could make it as a stream of the next Co-Carnage or Pirate Software." Well, I certainly don't want to be Pirate Software. He's not getting well appreciated right now. But that's the other problem. Like, if I do it for a while and then I get a job, I'm like, yeah sorry. Bye again. You know what I mean? Like, if you build it up, put the effort in, and then it all goes, like, what are you going to do? But yeah. I'll take recommendations for shows and stuff. Like, I might finally go and finish some things. Like, maybe I'll go watch... Because I did have to cancel some streaming services because monies. So, like, what can I get out of HBO Max before I have to stop it? And so on. But yeah, as I mentioned, it does give me the opportunity to potentially play some games that I haven't in the past. So let's use that as a smooth transition into what we've been playing this week. What have you been playing this week, Max?
So last week you started playing Mafia.
The Old Country, indeed.
I have now started The Old Country. I have done essentially the first opening bit, exploring the mines, and I got into a knife fight, and then I rode off into the sunset, and that's as far as I got.
Oh, so yeah, all right, cool. You're about to hit the point where you join the family.
The Old Country. The Old Country. it's cool. It was good. So far, I'm not invested in anyone yet because everyone's just whiny and mopey because they're literally slaves in a mine.
Yep.
So nothing really has happened yet, which is fine. So I'll be playing that throughout this week. I've also been playing more Elden Ring Nightreign because new week means a new boss. They've added the Everdark Sovereign for Libra, so they've upped the ante on that fight, which was the hardest fight for me as the base version of the boss. In this version, they up it by essentially, they create mimics of all the characters in your run. So if you're in a team of three dudes get spawned in, and you are forced into taking his deals. So if you try and heal yourself, you lose a level. If you, like any of the detriments that come from those, from the deals that you can actively choose at the start of the fight, will automatically happen during the fight. I've attempted the fight about 15 times now, and I have cleared it once. I had an absolute perfect run. So one of the, I think I mentioned it before, the shifting earths, which allow you to change the map up a little bit. We had the cursed city.
Mm-hmm.
On day one, we spawned right next to it, so we ran straight in it because there is the highest chance for legendary tier gear in that city. We got three copies of the Grafted Greatsword, which has the unique buff of every time you get a kill, all of your stats increased. So for the next 2 days in game, we just killed trash mobs. We forgot about all the bosses, didn't care, didn't matter. We just killed trash mobs. By the end of day two, when you find the actual boss, my health bar, my mana bar, my stamina bar was the entire length of my screen.
Mm-hmm.
And we just wailed on him. We all just stood there with dual colossal swords and just wailed on him.
Love it.
And it was beautiful. And I've never been able to do it again. In like, I've done like 100 and something runs. This is the first time I've ever been able to get that sword.
Nice.
Because like, in most instances, there's like a 5% drop, 1 to 5% drop chance to get a legendary. And then it has to roll the correct weapon type.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Colossal Greatsword, and then it has to roll 1 of 9 to hit that particular one. So, like, the chances of it is astronomical, and we just happen to get one copy, and because the city has the ability to duplicate any weapon once, I duplicated mine, and then the next person duplicated theirs, and then they duplicated again. So we had 4 copies of the same sword, and we just ran around wrecking shop.
Fantastic.
Beautiful. And lastly, I started playing a new game the other night. We were lucky enough to get a code for Echoes of the End.
Yeah.
Thanks to, I believe it was PlayOn.
It was indeed.
So this is from a little Icelandic studio. And it is... let me pull it up. It's essentially like a third-person action game. I've played, I want to say, the first hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
So you play as... What's the character's name? You play as... what's her name? Rin. You play as Rin, who is born as a Vestige. So essentially, the Vestiges are these conduit magic users where they have magical crystals in the world. Mm-hmm. Conduits are allowed to... can pull power from those crystals and then use them to, you know, better themselves and all that fun stuff. In the 1 hour that I've played, I've had 4 hard crashes.
Ooh, not good.
So I am waiting for a few patches. The game looks really, really nice when I can play it.
Well, that was the big thing. So like when you reached out to me and you said, hey, can you...
If you look for reviews, like that's the big thing. Like all of them are saying that it does look stunning, but it has a real problem running sometimes.
Yeah, because as I said, like when you reached out to me, be like, hey, can you see if you can get us a code for this? I was like, sure. And I had a look into them, like, damn, this game looks stunning. And that's what caught me in, right? Because there does seem to have this very God of War-esque sort of feel to it, like from a stylistic standpoint. And of course, for me, that's big old win. I'm going to head right in there. For yourself, though, it was more like what drew in was sort of that magical combat aspect to it.
It kind of, well, to me, this game looked like Immortals of Avium, but as a third-person action game as opposed to a shooter.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm in. And the game looked stunning. Like, from all the gameplay trailers that I'd seen and all the research I did, the game does look stunning.
Yeah.
It's just having a real hard time running. It was patched this morning, and I haven't tried it since. But we'll see. Yeah. And then lastly, last night I downloaded Fragpunk.
Oh, yeah?
Fragpunk is a free-to-play first-person shooter in the likes of, like, Valorant. So it's called... Okay. It's Counter-Strike-styled game where you have an A side, a B side, you're planting a bomb. It's a hero shooter in the sense that each character has their own special abilities and stuff like most do these days. Mm-hmm. But the gimmick is every round... something happens globally to everyone. So it could be everyone's max ammo is at 100% capacity. It could be crouch to gain more health. So everyone's just spamming crouch as they're walking along to gain more health.
Okay.
Bullets ricochet. Gain 1 revive per round, but lose your primary weapon upon death.
Damn.
It could be heads are twice as big.
Okay, that's a, I like that one.
And it's just fun, and having these silly little things change up the round in between rounds, it kind of changes the monotony and how you're going to play that round every time. Because if headshots are bigger,
this one is this the card one.
Yeah. So the cards are what happens in between each round.
Yeah, sorry, I get this and Frostpunk mixed up. And I was like, that doesn't sound like fucking Frostpunk at all.
No, Fragpunk.
It's Frostpunk, a survival game. And I get a 2.5D survival game. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, Frostpunk is Age of Empires if Age of Empires was a survival game.
Yeah, straight up. And that's not what you were talking about at all. So I'm glad I Googled that because I was like, hang on.
It is a free-to-play game, so it's microtransactioned up the butthole.
Oh, yeah.
For character skins, gun skins, all of that stuff. I played, 5 rounds last night, had a blast. Mm. So much fun.
Excellent.
I didn't do Battlefield this weekend. I kind of forgot about it completely. I also slept 12 hours on Friday night, so...
Yeah, I had the same thing. So I didn't sleep 12 hours, I can assure you. But I had my son this weekend, as I mentioned earlier. So the idea of playing Battlefield was not really on the cards. So everything that I sort of played this weekend, at least, was predominantly around spending time with him. So one of the things that we did today was really, really fun. So my son has a mate who's a big wrestle fan, right? Which is as I've discussed in the past, which helps for me because I work in the space. It gives him social cred by proxy. He came over yesterday. They had a good day playing about. One of the things they ended up doing, because I just let them do whatever they wanted to do. And they're like, they started playing WWE 2K25, and they were like, they made his mate in the game. They did some run some sim games to make him punch each other. And then they're like, oh, let's play My GM. And like at this point, my son has never played My GM his entire life, and obviously played a little bit, but you know, it is the game that like myself, my partner, and my friend play. Like every Thursday when we have family night, when we hang out, like we are playing My GM. Which for those playing at home that may not know what My GM is, consider it fantasy football in WWE. The idea is you have a draft and we all create our list of players, or in this case, wrestlers, and we then build shows, and the idea is to build better, more successful shows than your partners. So, James having played it yesterday, and Phoebe had watched him, and when she was giving me the feedback at the end of the night, she was like, yeah, so James's team was a bit shit. He picked nothing but faces, all but three women, and none of them were like class types, matches, or anything. I was like, okay, cool. So we were chatting this morning. I was like, but I heard you played My GM. Like, this is the mode that I love. I adore this game. You know, part of WWE 2K25. I would love to be able to play it with you. That'd be so cool. Because, you know, even recently when he has really gotten into Roblox lately, two particular games being, one being Rivals and the other being 99 Nights in the Forest, which I talked about last week. And I think the thing that he enjoyed about it the most was that he's like, oh my God, Dad wants to play something that I love. Right, and up until this point, James has always sort of shown an appreciation for the games that I enjoy and wanted to play them simply because we experience it together. But yeah, so today we played 2K25. We did a draft. We picked up our teams. I helped. You know, it wasn't brutal or cutthroat. It was very supportive. And we're like, hey, bud, who do you want? Like, as in, like, if you were to have your, like, who do you want to build your brand around? So he picked SmackDown, and he's like, I want to build everything around Cody. So like, cool. So we made sure he had a balanced budget. We made sure the class types match. So we're explaining to them how the mechanics of the game works, so that if he does play it again with his friend, he won't just get his shit kicked in. Right? But that was really nice. It was a really good sort of shared experience. As I said, we're playing music, having a really good time. That was really quite nice. I like that. Other than that, I have continued to put time into Mafia: The Old Country. So you touched upon it earlier, Max, but I am probably 8-ish hours, if not more, in the game at this point. I think I'm over halfway based on my trophies. I know the consensus that the game's like 12 hours to beat or whatever. I haven't died in the game yet. But I'm not playing on the hardest difficulty. With everything being sort of like linear level design, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. There are moments where you do get to explore the open world. Like, hey, you need to go somewhere and you can drive around for a minute.
Well, did you see that they posted a couple of days ago that they're going to be adding free ride mode as a free update for all players in the coming months?
Yeah, so then you can just go and explore the world freely, yeah.
Yeah. So
outside of the missions that you are playing, you can just go explore the world, which is helpful because that way you can go and find the collectibles that are scattered around the joint.
Yeah, because it says free ride mode will be coming to Mafia: The Old Country via free updates for all players, which will add new activities and gameplay content. We'll have more details to share at a later.
Yeah, that's my presumption. With a name like that, they are setting it up. You can just go fucking drive around.
Yeah.
So where I'm at now, I'm not going to give you all the spoilers because obviously you're playing it right now, Max. But the story itself, although I'm enjoying it for what it is a little paint-by-numbers crime story. You come from nothing. You get welcomed into the family. You work for the family until you earn your spot. You become officially part of said family. There is a love interest that is connected to the family, you know, and that's, you know, you're not allowed to be with this person as per your agreement to the family, and so on. So like, it does hit all of the tropes that you would expect within a crimey sort of movie and or game, but with its linear delivery. Now, as I mentioned, it's not entirely linear. There are moments where you do have to drive from A to B. And you can sort of take the path you choose. And that is that allows you to go explore, find those collectibles, as I mentioned, which are all the little things to go with your rosary beads, which are your charms, which then boost your stats and your abilities throughout the game, like sneakier feats, you know, or extra health. Your knife lasts longer because your knife is something you use to sort of break locks and open storage containers, etc. I am still really, really enjoying it. I do like Enzo as a character, which is the main character you play as. There's another character in the game. I think it's Leo. He has a little like pin mustache. He looks like a friend of mine, which makes me laugh. But it's pretty stock standard. Having it play, I say that in terms of the story structure. There are moments where it does feel nicely unique because it's set in 1905.
Mm-hmm.
So the cars are a bit shit. A lot of stuff's done on horses. How they discuss things is interesting. But because there are still a lot of guns and weaponry that you can use, so it plays modern enough that you're not like using blunderbusses on people and shit. Now, granted, because I don't have a strong understanding of like military history or weapon history, like I don't know like whether the guns that they are using in the game are time relevant. I would assume they would be, but it plays fine. Cars are cool.
My biggest question at the very start of the game, because obviously when you're introduced to your character, you're essentially saving up to what I presume to be is to pay off your debt and get out of the mine.
Yeah.
And then within 5 minutes of that, you just escape. I'm like, why didn't I just do that to begin with?
Now the circumstances that led to your escape aren't common experiences, but there's that character that you meet at the beginning is like, he's clearly set up to be a long-term antagonist. To their credit, I saw him, I'm like, oh, and then the actions that took place, I'm like, you know what? I really can't wait to kill that man. I'm going to really enjoy murdering him.
I like so one of the tutorials is against that character in question, and it teaches you how to do like the melee combat.
Yeah. And the knife fights everywhere.
I'm knife fighting this guy, right? So at the start, it's like, you know, this is how you lunge. This is how you slash, how you dodge. And then afterwards, it gives you a health bar for the boss and a health bar for you. And it kind of just goes, oh, this is how much damage you kind of did in the tutorial bit. So we'll give you a head start. I stabbed this dude like 50 times and he barely took any damage. I'm like, okay, that seems fair.
Yeah.
I shanked him so good in the chest like 40 times.
Oh, like one thing the game has, like these night fights, like they don't feel like, they don't feel like over the top visceral, but they feel visceral. Like the foley is tight. Like that sound of slashing some motherfucker's skin. Yeah. Like you hear that kind of like wet squelchy sound and you go, ooh, I fucking shanked that dude. And like, that's fun. Cause like, I can't tell you how many knife fights I've got into at this point. Like most of it. Yeah. Most encounters have ended like, we're just going to stab each other. I'm like, okay. And like, there was like, hey, you need to infiltrate this base. Like try to do it stealthily. And I did it stealthily until I couldn't. And I was like, oh, whatever. And then I started shotgunning people's faces off. Well, not shotgunning. You know what I mean? It's like sneak, choke. All right. Dispose the body. Some guy spots me. I'm like, ah, whatever. Stab, 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 stab.
The trench gun.
Yeah, pretty much. Just start like murdering for everyone. I'm enjoying it still. Is it a 10 out of 10? No. Did I expect it to be? No. And that's exactly what I wanted. Like what I wanted was that 12 to 15 hour experience, or 10 to 20, depending on how you want to play, that is linear, that is a story driven experience. So it's ticking all those boxes. Loving it. Pardon me. Outside of that, though, there was a demo that I did download on the old PC. It was Figurine Shop Simulator. As everyone knows, my love for simulator games, and as they've become more prevalent over the last couple of years, which has been great for me as I have a lot more games to choose from, with the likes of Trading Card Shop Simulator, Supermarket Simulator, they're really kicking in. And the, what differentiates them, because Supermarket Simulator was kind of the emerging one, even though things like Gas Station Simulator and stuff were ahead of it. The one of the ones to really break through was Gas Station, and then followed by Supermarket X amount of years later. But what they are doing in order to differentiate themselves in this world of 1,000 clones and bullshit is they have to have this cool little gimmick. The gimmick for Miniature Shop Simulator is it's about selling minis, which I enjoy. In the same way that Trading Card Shop Sim has you open decks of cards to build your collection and then resell the singles, here you get to sell them, but you can also open them, and each box is kind of a random allocation of parts. So then you have to sort of collect them, and it'll build little minis, and then you can glue them and paint them and sell them. So it's an extra little gimmick that just gives it enough novelty to separate it and make it really fun.
Mm.
So it is only a demo. There is no release date for it at the moment. But yeah, go check it out on Steam if you want to dip your toes in. It runs a little rough because it is a demo. So the frame rate's a bit shonk. Some of the animations are a bit shit. But then again, same can be said for Mafia, because there are times where, like, I was following a character on a horse and the horse just didn't move its legs and proceeded to slide around a corner like it was Tokyo Drift. Yeah, there are some moments. Oh, there's also a moment where I checked the trophy list during a transition in Mafia, and the sound went. Just everything went. Then I went back to the menu and then went back into the game and the sound returned. So that was odd. Don't know what happened there. But outside of that, haven't played any more Death Stranding. I did boot up Bioshock 1 the other day. Just because I was talking to Phoebe, and I was like, actually, you know what would be a really fucking dope thing to see? Oh, like, I'm curious on your thoughts on the opening of Bioshock.
Is it the end of Death Stranding 2?
No. No. That would be cool. But I was like, oh, I can show you the opening. So I'll show you the opening of fucking Bioshock. I'm like, because, you know, at the time, this was really fucking cool. And I've been wanting to replay it for ages because I've never actually finished it.
Really?
Yeah, and I've never finished Bioshock. I got really far.
Like any of them?
Nah, any of them. Because, like, in true Betson fashion, I get really into it and then I get sort of distracted and wander off, right? So I go, all right, well, let's jump into it. And still
that's, why you're gonna play, that's why you got to play games like me. You do it in one sitting, so you can't get distracted.
Yeah. Well, now I have the time to do so. So I guess I can.
Actually, it's funny. I was watching a video. It was like I think it was a YouTube Shorts or something, and it was like the top 10 games to play in one sitting. I'm like, ah, Last of Us 2. Spoilers was not on their list.
No, I didn't think so because the game's fucking long. All right, let's get into this section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Pretty quiet week this week, Max. Literally the first piece, we normally start our news doc with Sony news or PlayStation news, and there is literally nothing.
Yeah. There's some, but it's not relevant here in the gaming space. So let's skip to the big question. Will it launch? Another delay to Grand Theft Auto 6 would cause many to completely lose their minds. Mm-hmm. But for what it's worth, Take-Two CEO is fairly confident that the game's 26th of May launch date will stick. In a recent interview with US news channel CNBC, as called by Kotaku, the ever-talkative Strauss Zelnick was asked if he's sure that the date, or more specifically, what his current, quote, level of conviction is. Quote, my level of conviction is very, very high, obviously, Zelnick replies. Of course, you wouldn't expect the CEO to say much more than that, not when, as noted, GTA 6 has already been the victim to a hefty delay. Everyone at Rockstar and all the suits at Take-Two will be pushing for that May release no matter what. Mm-hmm. There's simply too much riding on this. When queried on the expectations surrounding GTA 6, he starts off quite reasonable, saying, quote, we try not to pump expectations, right? But right after, he big ups the title's colossal potential, quote, I think Rockstar's whole stock and trade is to have these extraordinary expectations and to still beat them. I know that's their goal. I know it's going to be an amazing game. The rest we'll see in the fullness of time. It goes without saying that the utterly unprecedented success of GTA 5 places an extremely heavy burden on its sequel. The lead up to launch is going to be fascinating, especially as we get to glimpse more and more of the game itself. Spot on. Like realistically, to get anything other than those would be crazy. Yes, it does have what I would imagine to be a gigantic weight on its shoulder, because if this somehow fails in comparison to what GTA 5 did, what a twist.
Yeah, something that was mentioned in that interview, which I really quite like, he was discussing around the idea of how player tastes have changed, where formerly, like, you know, what was a good game was good, but now a good game is bad, and a great game is good, and an amazing game is great, and an exceptional game is amazing. And I'd like anyone to see a fucking, extraordinary game. So there is a little bit of that understanding of, like, it has to deliver. Whatever we release has to deliver. And I think concerns around GTA 6 not meeting this release date is, I think, unlikely. I do see it hitting this day. As we mentioned, GTA 5, 2013, it released. I distinctly remember going to the midnight launch and all that sort of stuff and, you know, seeing that, like, literally in my Facebook memories only recently, I remember, like, there was me linking the trailer to GTA Online being like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's incredible how far we've come since then. Knowing full well that they've spent likely over $1 billion on this title, any additional delays would be dangerous, because I can assure you that Take-Two and the parent company, Take-Two, have, and Rockstar, of course, have all accounted for the release of GTA 6 as part of that fiscal year, and it would blow out all their margins. It would really impact stakeholders and stock owners, etc. And every time you delay a title, expectations grow. And expectations for GTA 6 are already through the roof. So to add to that would be absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. Mute in the chat goes, this was for 360 and PS3. Yeah, right. Absolutely. GTA 5 on PS3.
Yeah, GTA 5 has lasted for 3 generations.
Yep. Yep. And it's still in the top 10 always for some reason. You'd think everyone would own it at this point.
It's because people get banned and have to buy it again.
Yeah, there's always new people turning 18 and people get banned all the time and buy new games, but I have to buy it again. There was something else he mentioned that caught my attention. I think not the one I can think of, but I think it pretty hits all the beats. But yourself, Max, like, is because obviously you and I, and as and near everybody else, are quite excited for GTA 6.
Yeah. Look, was I bummed out when they said we need more time? Sure. I think they'll hit the 26th. I don't think they would have given such a specific date if they didn't think that they would be way ahead of schedule and hit it before then.
Yeah.
Like, I think we're going to get a, what is it, May 26th, 2026?
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if in February it turns around and like, hey, we've got gold. We're ready to party. Do I think they'll bring the date forward if that's the case? No. Not at all.
I think it's
staying where it is.
Yeah.
But I would imagine that I reckon they're probably going to be a month or two ahead of schedule and have it done pretty early on.
Yeah, and that, even now, I would argue that the delay was really, you know, has only allowed them to further polish the title.
Mm.
Because as you mentioned, you know, using that quote that Strazonic mentioned, it needs to be so astoundingly incredible. So just having that time to really buff out any hitches,
it's interesting though, because I think this is maybe the only game where the online has to play better than the single player experience.
Correct. And then we also, like, is it a day one for online, or are they going to do a month out like last time?
They'll do a month out like last time is my guess.
Yeah.
They'll want people, they know that once people have access to online, no one's playing that single player game.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very aware. So it's something that I wish Call of Duty would do. But then again, also, who the gives a flying fuck?
Did you see that apparently this year's Call of Duty will incorporate multiplayer into the campaign?
Yeah.
Apparently.
How?
I don't know. Apparently, it had something to do with, like, traction. I'm like, oh my god, is there going to be DMZ in the in the campaign?
Just checking Twitter for a second as we're chatting, and you said DMZ. I'm like, I'm back.
But we'll, I mean, we'll find out this week because Call of Duty is apparently the mainline game. Fucking opening night live.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's jump straight into that. Then let me jot down that bam, bam, bam. Bam, bam. Yes, that's right. It is almost nearly Jeff O'Clock again as Mr. Keeley's mid-year showcase kicks off ahead of the German Video Game Expo Gamescom. And of course, that does mean opening night live. It's said to be including many titles heading to the PlayStation 5, which is fantastic for us. But when is the show itself being broadcast? Well, the answer is for us here in the Australias, it is 4 a.m. on Tuesday, the 19th. Oh, sorry, my apologies. Wednesday, the 20th of August, 2025. Gamescom Opening Night Live 2025 will be about 2 hours long, according to Keeley, and is currently not known if there will be a pre-show, but typically there is a half-hour opener where some smaller announcements are made, so factor that in as well. Jeff Keighley, as well as publishers and developers themselves, usually announce a handful of games that will be present during the showcase. And as of right now, the only ones that we are aware of are Black Ops 7, Resident Evil 9 Requiem, Lords of the Fallen 2, and Silent Hill F. Now, Max, you did ask me earlier, like, oh, you know, live stream opening tonight live? 4 a.m, kind of gross. But 2 hours, that's a reasonable time to get up and do something. It's not like getting up for a half an hour showcase.
It's right when I get home from work.
Yeah.
So I will not be watching it live.
No, if I'm available and I want to get up that early in the morning, I might. But we'll wait and see. All right, Max, I'll let you read this next one. I'm just going to quickly take a whiz. I'll be back in 2 seconds.
So this one's called Fund It Yourself. So alongside issues relating to the three RPGs engines, this is in reference to remakes for Dragon Age. So alongside issues relating to the three RPGs engines, EA is another reason why you haven't seen remakes or even just remasters of Dragon Age Origins, Dragon Age 2, and Dragon Age Inquisition. Speaking on Mr. Matty Plays podcast, former Dragon Age director Mark Dara explained that BioWare, along with other developers inside EA, run their own finances, quote, to some degree. Dara then said that the RPG studio didn't have the funds to greenlight a remaster project due to the other games it was already working on. This leads Dara to suggest, quote, EA's stance was probably, sure, go ahead and do it, but do it with the money you already have. And it's like, well, we can't do it with the money that we already have because we're doing all these other things. Talking to remasters in general, Dara states EA is, quote, kind of against the idea. It's strange for a publicly traded company to basically be against free money, but they seem to be against it, end quote. EA put out the Mass Effect Legendary Edition on PS4 back in 2021, and then did a remake of the first Dead Space for PlayStation 5 in 2023. Last year, it was explained by Dragon Age: The Veilguard creative director John Epler that remastering the three games and bundling them into one collection would be difficult, as they were all built on different proprietary engines. Dragon Age Origins and its Awakening expansion were made using the Eclipse engine. Dragon Age 2 used an updated version of it called the Lyceum engine, and for Dragon Age Inquisition, BioWare switched to Frostbite. Compared to the original Mass Effect trilogy, which were all developed using Unreal Engine, bringing the first three Dragon Age RPGs together into a single application and having them work together represents a far tougher task. John Epler added, quote, I think I'm one of about maybe 20 people left at BioWare who's actually used Eclipse. It's something that's not going to be easy as easy as Mass Effect, but we do love the original games. Never say never, I guess. That's what it comes down to.
So what a miss.
Basically, EA is like, if you want to do a Dragon Age collection, you can, but fund it yourself. We're not going to pay for it. And the difficulty behind it is each of the three Dragon Age games are all on their own proprietary engines. So to have them cohesively run on a single disk would be nigh on impossible, because they'd all have to be rebuilt into different engines. Because Dragon Age Origins used Eclipse, Dragon Age 2 used Lyceum, which is an updated version of Eclipse, and Dragon Age Inquisition used Frostbite. So none of them use the same engine. They're all completely different.
Like, Frostbite's reasonably compatible, but not if the other two aren't.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Now, obviously, like, Dragon Age is more a franchise in your neck of the woods than mine. I played a little bit of Origins back in the day, and it was a little too more of an intense RPG for what I was expecting at the time. So yeah. I didn't really fuck with it. Didn't play 2, didn't play Inquisition, certainly didn't play Valguard. So I assume this is something that you would like to see.
Yeah, I mean, I've wanted to see it for the longest time. I think that a lot of people want, especially Dragon Age Origins, I wouldn't care if they did all three or just one. I would be in just to, like, if they said, oh, we can redo Dragon Age Origins for $60, or we can do all three for 150, but we can't do both. I'm like, well, if you do the $150 version, I'm just gonna buy it for one anyway.
Yeah.
Because Dragon Age 2 and Inquisition were not my jam. Origins was one of the greatest RPGs I've ever played. And I would totally get it again for that price, even if it was to bundle with the other two. I think a lot of people have that same sentiment as well. I think a lot of people would show up for a remaster or a remake of Dragon Age Origins. It seems weird that Dara mentions in his quote, it's strange for a publicly traded company to basically be against free money, but they seem to be against it, in reference to remasters and remakes. But he also mentions that EA's stance was probably, go ahead and do it, but do it with the money you already have.
As in, you're welcome to, we would allow you to do it, like, as your parent company, however, we are not funding it.
Yeah, because Dara goes on to explain that BioWare, along with other developers inside of EA, run their finances to some degree, which seems also bizarre that, you know, for a company that essentially...
There should be some... Well, then again, that without that lack of oversight is why you get something like Valguard.
But in a company that prints money with their sports franchises, you think they could fund some other things?
Well, they can't, because all that money has to go back into those franchises.
Oh, I think they're pretty... I think they would have leftover. I think that'd be self-sustaining. Oh,
I'm sure they would too. They wouldn't fucking tell you that, though.
But, yeah. Do I think this will ever happen? Probably not.
No.
Because I don't think BioWare has the capital to do...
Yeah.
And if it fails, it may be the end of them.
From where I stand, because I can look at it in a different way, because I have no affinity for BioWare. I don't believe BioWare has the same cachet as it once had. I don't believe Dragon Age as a brand has the same level of cachet it once had. I can assure you that most are... it's an example. Was it the ship of Theseus? Is that the one? Where, like, if you replace every single parts of a ship with something else, is it still the same ship?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where BioWare is at. And they've been there for the longest time. They were there before, you know, Anthem. And then moving into even Andromeda, I guess, potentially. I do wonder. I don't see it ever happening. Because as you mentioned, there's really no reason to, from an incentive. Because I think you're not going to get new customers. You are only going to be benefiting old customers. And EA's response is also indicative of how they confidently feel about the BioWare Dragon Age name value.
Apparently, Dragon Age Origins sold 3.2 million units. Dragon Age 2 sold 2 million units, and Inquisition sold 12.
Yeah, Inquisition was the big one, because that was 2016, and that was the...
Game of the year, because I don't think anything else came out that year.
Yeah, that was the year that Pop C started, like, kind of officially, right? On the radios. Oh, no, actually, no, we started 2015. Like, yeah, so 2016 was our first, like, we did our first year, because I remember playing it, and I remember Josh playing it, and we did our game of the year and stuff. And yeah, for him, it was also the game of the year. So, yeah, it'd absolutely be addressing to a finite fan base. And I think in a lot of ways, 3 million, which should be a respectable number to sell through, is not enough these days. Sadly, is not enough. Not enough. All right, let's get into the games that are coming to you as this month's PS Plus Extra and Premium titles. Now, once again,
they all drop on the 19th, so that's day of release.
Yeah, day of release, so they will be available today. Not for me though, as I've reduced myself to essential because unemployment. Bam, spoilers. If anyone feels so kindly, patreon.com/popculture. I appreciate it. These are the games that are coming to Extra. You're getting Mortal Kombat 1 on PS5, which is cool. I always wanted to fuck with Mortal Kombat 1. And I get to. Marvel Spider-Man Remastered for PS5. Marvel Spider-Man PS4. Sword of the Sea. Earth Defense Force 6. Unicorn Overlord, which I remember he was really good. Altair Riser 3. Alchemist of the End and the Secret Care. Remember, you've played those games before, haven't you?
I've played the first two. I haven't played three. Mm. I got review copies for 1 and 2 back in the day.
Yep.
I have not played 3 yet.
Indica, which I remember seeing around. Harold Halibut and Coral Island. Coral Island's a cool farming game. I've replayed it. I reviewed it a little while ago. Thoroughly enjoy it. It's actually really quite fun. And the Premium Deluxe, only 2 titles. You get Resident Evil 2, the PS1 port, and Resident Evil 3, Nemesis, the PS1 port. So that does bring 1, 2, and 3 all available to those on the Premium.
Mm.
Anything jump out at you, Max? I think both Spider-Man's pretty sick.
Unicorn Overlord, I wanted to play. That's one of the old school turn-based tactical RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
So getting to play that will be cool. Playing Atelier Riser 3 will be cool.
Are you still on Extra or... Essential.
I've been on Essential for ages, but my parents are on Extra, and I just downloaded through them.
Nice.
So I still have access to all this stuff, which is cool. But upcoming titles, for those of you who pay for your games, on the 18th of August, we have Broken Law, Don't Watch, coming to PS5, PS4. We have Hide the Corpse, coming to PSVR2, which sounds interesting. On the 19th of August, we have Delta Force, which is in the... It must be a day one release for PlayStation Plus, which is cool. We have Shantae Advance Risky Revolution coming to PS5, PS4. Sword of the Sea, another day one to PlayStation Plus, coming to PS5. And on the 21st of August, we have Boulder Dash, the 40th anniversary, coming to PS5.
Sorry, just correct you. It was Earth Defense Force in PS Plus Extra. Delta Force.
Oh, was it not Delta Force?
Yeah, something different. Sorry, I just wanted to clarify.
Okay. No, that's cool. But Sword and Sea is definitely in there.
Mm-hmm.
On the 21st of August, we have Boulder Dash 40th anniversary coming to PS5. We have Discounty, PS5, PS4. Grit and Valor, 1949, coming to PS5. Hurdling, PS5. Machik 2, PS4 and PS5. And lastly, Sengoku Dynasty, PS5.
Excellent. Well, there you have it. That's the show, as usual. But anything, there's really nothing happening this week in terms of releases, is there?
No.
What's that? Because it's all happening next week. Next week is Gamescom, Keeley's, you know, Keeley Night Live.
Yeah, big one next week.
Yeah, so we'll likely have a big show next week. Might start early, just so we can get through what will likely be a big string of news. But yeah, there you go. Well, big thank you to everyone for joining us at home, as you have. We really appreciate you all taking the time to check out the show each and every week, or hopefully each and every week. As mentioned, currently unemployed, patreon.com/popculturist. Be fucking shameless. No, I'm kidding. Look, I joke, but like, I am genuinely thinking, like, I've got fucking time. Like, you know, maybe I'll do some stream. Maybe I'll get the TikTok side of shit of this running. Maybe I'll actually start making shorts. I won't. But I think I could. It's a rough week to do it because there's not a lot of good, like, grippy shit out of this episode this week because not much happened.
No, but hitting TikTok shorts on opening night live or YouTube shorts or reels, whatever the fuck they're called over there.
Who knows? That is worth considering. Absolutely worth considering.
That'd be clicky and hitty, I guess.
Yeah. Well, this is interesting. We are done by 8 o'clock on a Sunday night. Well, normally we'd be about to start to record. So let's get this done, Max. Let's get out of here so we can go enjoy our Sunday night.
Although, to be fair, last week we started early and still didn't finish till 9 o'clock because we ended up talking for like an hour and a half of our week and what shit we've been doing.
Yeah, and nothing was like comparatively. This week was way more interesting for me than last week.
I like the so before the show, I essentially do our running sheet and then I send it to Ryan day off. So I sent him a screenshot earlier this afternoon saying I have 4 news articles open. It's going to be like a really short one. I'm like, I managed to turn that into 4 pages. Have a good one.
Oh, well, it's one of those things. Cause, yeah, Phoebe said the same thing. She's like, you guys going to talk for hours? I'm like, nah, it's a pretty light news week, so probably.
Yeah.
Like whenever there's a light news week, we somehow manage to get more shit into the show than we would if we had a lighter week. I guess because we're always on like a time pressure. I'm like, oh, I guess we probably should solve it, but whatever. All right, let's get out of here though.
All right, everybody, you know the drill. This PlayStation Conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, or you want to tell Ryan to stream Opening Night Live, check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. All of those links can be found in the description below. Peer pressure, people. Get him to do it.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens and also follow me while I play some games, while I look for a new job, be sure to head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist where you watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, or support me financially, patreon.com/thepopculturist. I'm gonna be fucking shameless. Like, don't get me wrong, this is not the first time I've like e-begged before, just in general to help support the show. Our Patreon numbers have only ever gone down, so sweet. Also because we don't offer fucking anything.
Every time you threaten to sell your bathwater online, we just lose people.
No, I think it's every time we just do an episode we lose viewers, and that's a shame. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.
I'm so glad the noise gate doesn't cut in. Cut that out anymore. My daughter's just cackling maniacally in the background in her bedroom.
That was harrowing.